I would like to invite you to turn to today's focus passage and New Testament reading, which is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device. You can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read the words from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." A group of seminary students were charged with an assignment to present the story of the Good Samaritan, not so much as a sermon, but to present to their class some of the implications behind the text, what we could read into when we hear about this lawyer who asks Jesus a question, who the priest and the Levite were, what this road was all about, who the Samaritan was, the relationship between Jews and Samaritans, to unpack all of these things. And so the seminary students got to their class that day when they were to give this presentation and found a note that said, "We've decided to videotape, or we've decided to record this conversation, so please head to this building on the other side of campus in this room where the video equipment is set up." And so the students, after having gotten there, then left to go across campus to go to this classroom where the professor said that they would meet and to record on video their presentation about the Good Samaritan. Little did they know that the professor had gotten an actor on campus to lay alongside the sidewalk looking beaten, looking like he had been dragged or abused there on the campus, right directly in the path of the seminary students. I fear you might know where this is going. The seminary students may have taken notice of this man, but did nothing. There was a recount that one of the seminary students managed to step over the man and not address his needs. And so the seminary students got to this classroom. The professor told them what he had done. I'm guessing they were in a little shock. I don't know what grade they would have gotten on their presentation. But it's a reminder that knowing what compassion is doesn't necessarily mean that you can feel it or that you will feel it. A Princeton University professor did a study of why people show compassion. He came to discover that in many ways, being shown compassion leads to feeling compassion yourself. He recounted a story of one of the people in this study named Jack Casey, who had a difficult childhood, was in an abusive home, was never shown compassion on any kind of regular basis, much less on rare occasions. One time, Jack found himself in the hospital for a major surgery. Didn't say what it was, but He was in that surgery, and he was scared for his life. And if any of you have even had a minor surgery, or you've had to go under general anesthesia, that's even though you know you're going to be okay, you're a little scared. It's kind of a scary moment when you're there on the operating table and you know you're about to go under. But Jack was there, and when he was there, there was a nurse that was with him before this surgery. He was telling her about how scared he was, and she said, "You have nothing to worry about. I'm going to be right here with you the whole time." That was the first time Jack had experienced compassion in his entire life. And when he woke up, the nurse was there with him, saying, "I've been here the whole time. How are you feeling?" And that moment stuck with Jack. He became a paramedic when he grew up. And there was one time where he found himself in a very dangerous situation. There was a man in a terrible car accident who was pinned under a car, and there was gasoline dripping. The man was very scared for his life, and so the fire department, the crew, they were getting ready to cut the car open to try to get this man out before anything disastrous would happen. And Jack, even in that moment, remembered the time of his surgery, and he said to the man laying underneath the car, "Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here with you." Jack remembered the feeling of receiving someone else's compassion. Not just a general sense of altruism, not just this general sense of treat your fellow human being with respect, but compassion that comes from the gut. Compassion that starts in here rather than up here. Today's parable of the Good Samaritan can go in many directions, but I think that today, through this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus wants us to fully understand what compassion is. Jesus wants us to fully understand the grace and the mercy and love that comes through that gut feeling of compassion that as Christians we should have inside of us and ready to be doled out. But how do we get there? In other words, how do we go from being like the priest and the Levite who walked by to being like the Samaritan who went out of his way to tend to this man on the road? Quickly, let's go down the story again. We realize that there was a man robbed on a dangerous road. Scholars tell us that it was very common, actually, for violence and robberies to take place on this road that we read of in the scripture. But religious scholars also tell us that this priest and Levite that go by, sometimes we get the idea, well, they were just in a hurry or something along those lines. But from what we read, the priest and the Levite were probably going along with the law by choosing not to help this man. They were probably going along with certain cleanliness laws. They may have been headed to or from a religious ceremony, and they shouldn't have touched a man that was bleeding because that would make them unclean. They were doctrinally sound, this priest and Levite. They were following the law to a T and therefore chose not to show compassion because they were doing what they were supposed to do. They were playing it safe. And that doesn't even regard the fact that Jews and Samaritans practically hated one another. But instead, the Samaritan who came by, the Samaritan comes by and would have found this Jewish man on the road and put aside his doctrinal preferences, his theologies that said, "I'm not supposed to show any kind of compassion or love to this other person that I will never associate with." The Samaritan came along and allowed compassion to overcome his prejudice, allowed the compassion to overcome his logic and thinking, maybe I shouldn't do this. He allowed the compassion in his gut to overcome the voices in his head that said, you know, there's probably a good reason I shouldn't do this. You know, I can think of some pretty good reasons why I need to keep walking. The Good Samaritan rescued this man because of a deep compassion. So as we interpret this story, we can draw a few conclusions. Yes, we should be like the Good Samaritan As we read this story, we take that as the central directive. We should cross the road to help and have the eyes to see, and that is a good starting point. But I think the Spirit is calling us to something a little deeper. I want to begin by asking you, as we take this story and seek to apply it to our lives, I want to ask you to put yourself in the ditch with the man that was beaten and robbed. We don't normally go that direction when we interpret this story. We skip over that part and say, well, we're the Good Samaritan. That's who we are. Be careful not to be like the priest and the Levite. Avoid that. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to begin by asking you to put yourself in the ditch. Put yourself in the situation of the man who was beaten and robbed and left for dead. Earlier, we talked about, at least psychologically and through this university study, that compassion is also generated by receiving it. We can often dole out compassion or feel compassion towards others because it has been shown to us. So let's begin here. Because isn't the Christian testimony, isn't your testimony as a follower of Christ, how Christ came to save you? How Christ came to this earth and found you on that road beaten and bloodied, and crossed the road and tended to your wounds and showed you grace and mercy and compassion and salvation. Shouldn't that be the starting point of this story? When you were on the road, perhaps you had experienced something very similar to this man in the story on a literal level. Perhaps you were a victim of abuse, neglect, or fear, or a dangerous situation. Perhaps you were in the worst physical spot, and through the power of Christ, you have been saved and found. Perhaps you were in some sort of spiritual desert. Maybe you didn't quite have it this bad, but you had uncertainty. Perhaps you had a lack of faith. You had too many questions and said, I can't find meaning or purpose in this life. And then through the power of the Spirit, you were able to find purpose through Jesus Christ. And then maybe you were like me, who can't recount any terrible situations in my past, was raised in a loving home and in a loving church. But I can tell you that I was lost in pride, I was lost in arrogance and Christian snootiness, and it's something I still struggle with, which is destructive to both me and to others who I seek to share the compassion of Christ with. Whatever your situation of being lost is, no matter your ditch experience, Jesus has come to rescue you from that ditch. Now let's accept that truth together as Christian people, that we have all been left in a ditch, beaten and left for dead by the world, but Jesus comes down this windy, dangerous road of our lives and binds our wounds. Jesus shows us grace and compassion. If you profess this reality as a Christian, then you should have compassion in your heart for others. You should know compassion because it has been extended to you, which now brings us to the priest and the Levite. They knew the law. They knew what compassion was, but it's pretty clear from the story that being sound in the law and the Jewish law of that time, knowing the logical steps and what they should do in that situation was not good enough. They were not being neighborly. They were not living out this greatest command the lawyer had asked Jesus about, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. They weren't living that out, even though they knew it. They had it in their head. They knew what to do, but they had a really, really good excuse, probably a lawful good excuse. They knew their scripture front and back. They knew how to practice it. And so they knew what they were doing, and in their heads, they were doing just fine. It's important to point out today that compassion does not equal right doctrine. It's important to point out today that compassion does not equal right theology, though those things are certainly important to get at. When right theology and doctrine squelches your ability to have compassion on your neighbor, you have missed the entire point of Jesus' message and coming to earth. Because compassion is something that you feel or should feel in your gut when you become a follower of Christ. It's not something you figure out. Yes, we may need to figure out ways to apply compassion, but you shouldn't have to logically arrive at a feeling of compassion if you are a follower of Christ and if the Spirit lives within you. Compassion is something in your gut. In fact, the literal study of the word tells us this is something very deep within us. We read that in this story, this Samaritan, while traveling, when he saw him, it says he was moved with pity. Once again, it's not so much that the wheels were turning and he was figuring out, do I have time for this? Can I do this based on the law? What will my friends think of me if I show compassion to someone who I hate? No, compassion was just something he had. And through Jesus Christ, compassion should be a central part of our character. So we've been in the ditch. Those of us who call ourselves Christians believe that we have been saved by the power of Jesus Christ. We have been saved by Jesus coming to earth to teach us the truths of the kingdom, such as are present in this parable, but also to go to the cross, to die for the world and to save us from our sins, and then also to be raised to new life to show us the hope of eternity and to usher in an area of the reconciliation of all things where God is drawing all things into himself. We've been in that ditch, and so now we can hear Jesus' words and understand the significance of our call to be like the Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan, though not immediately obvious, is about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven that he has brought to earth. Jesus shows us compassion because he crossed the road and tended to our broken lives. Not because he had to, not because there were some law that said Jesus had to do this, but because Jesus is God, and God is love, and we have received that love, you and me. Jesus' arrival is the signal that no one is too lost or too far gone to receive God's love, and that the compassion that we are moved to show, the compassion that we should have in our gut, does not hinge on ours or the other person's age, gender, religion, race, party affiliation, nationality, sexual orientation. Have I missed anything? Are there any categories that should keep us from showing compassion? Whatever lines we've chosen to draw, compassion must win the day and step over these lines that we still struggle with when considering our next steps as a church. At this point, a pastor would normally challenge you to be more like the Good Samaritan. And so, well, here is the challenge. Show mercy, experience life in Christ by showing compassion. That is the challenge, but here's one more. I want you once again to reflect on your time in the ditch. I want you to recall the time or the times that compassion was issued your way. I want you to recall the times where you were laying in the ditch, broken by on this road that we call life, and there were others that may have passed by along the way and had a really good reason not to tend to you. But that whether it was directly or indirectly, God chose to show compassion to you, working through families, neighbors, perhaps through a church, perhaps through someplace like Swannanoa Valley Christian Ministries. Remember the time now that you were in the ditch and you experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ, take just a few moments to do that silently right now. Oh Lord, let us not forget our time in the ditch, for it is in that time that you came across the road and you rescued us when no one else would. Lord, we pray that because we have been saved by your compassion, that we would heed Jesus' words carefully and that we would go and do likewise. While we seek to grow as disciples, while we seek to learn the Christian faith, while we seek to learn the implications of what it means to live out the Christian faith, we pray that we would avoid those tendencies that where we find a reason not to show compassion, where we seek to become so rational and so lawful that we forget about the person laying on the road who is in need of grace and mercy. Lord, help us in the coming days to discover new ways of showing compassion. But most of all, as we continue to follow you more closely, as we pray, as we study the scripture and the words of Jesus, as we worship together and grow in community in this church, as we take part in the missional activities of this church, help us to grow more in compassion. And help us to continue to learn that compassion is not something we figure out in our heads, but it comes from deep within our hearts. We believe this because you are inside our hearts. And so, Lord, we conclude this prayer by asking that we would make you known in our lives this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll hear it from